Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth,
let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
I'm more like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
It's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday.
Absolutely, it's Thursday. Glorious day it is.
It's cold, though, but it's glorious.
Oh, my gosh, is it?
It's cold?
Hell yeah.
Freezing.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was riding in the warmth of my 2002 Cadillac Escalade.
Yeah, right.
With 376,000 miles on it.
Yeah. And
take a picture. We're outside with it today.
I don't stunt. I had a Beyond Burger last night.
Did you?
I eat those all at least once a week.
Yeah, but sometimes they really make me really, really gassy. So
they
I'm saying,
do?
Yeah, so I'm saying all that to say I was very warm this morning.
Oh, okay.
And
whole,
you know what else I've been doing?
A hot box.
I've been making my tacos with the Beyond chicken, the Beyond meat.
Why do they call it Beyond?
Because it's not meat.
It's not real
Beyond.
Meat.
But why the word Beyond, though?
That's just the brand of it. Oh. That's the name of it. Beyond, like Impossible Burgers, Beyond Burgers.
Got you. They're good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's today? The 7th?
Yes, 7th.
Captain Marvel comes out tomorrow. You know I am a Marvel fanatic. First of all, drop on the clues bombs for Captain Marvel. I am a Marvel fanatic. I have Wolverine tattooed on my right arm.
We know.
So I really look forward to these comic book movies. But I really look forward to this one because this is connective tissue to Avengers Endgame. But I'm actually going tonight at 7 o'clock.
Now, when you go,
so
I
can't wait.
Do you bring the whole family? Do you bring your wife? Is she a Marvel fanatic too?
She is because, I mean, this is a decade of dates. That's really what it is if you think about it. The Marvel MCU franchise has been going on for 10 years since the first Iron Man movie 10 years ago. So there's been a decade of dates.
Does she get excited as well? Like tonight?
Yes. She's all in.
Does she dress up like you too?
I've only dressed up for Black Panther, sir.
Did she dress up?
Don't get it twisted.
Did she dress up?
Nah, not really. Might wear a t-shirt or something like that. Something light. You know what I mean? Something light. But I'm very excited. I'll be there tonight.
Yeah, are you excited for the Marvel release tomorrow?
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, no
clue. I did have a German Shepherd named Marvel when I was growing up.
Oh, did you? Okay. Was he like an Avenger and flying through the air and things like that?
Okay, guys.
No, but he was a really nice dog. He was huge. We were scared of him.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, well, today on the show, who do we have joining us this morning? Let me see. Let me get the list. Who's stopping through?
Well, you figure that out.
We have Donna. Donna Hilton will be joining us this morning.
Donna Hilton has an amazing story. What's the name of her bookie? Don't get us the
Unprepared, because that's what we are.
That's usually who we are.
Unprepared.
And I read her book. Her book is amazing.
It's called A Little Piece of Light.
A Little Piece of
Light. Yes. A Little Piece of Light.
By Donna
Hilton. It's
her
memoir, and she actually went to jail. We'll let her tell it.
Yeah, we'll let her tell it.
It's a memoir of hope, prison, and a life unbound. I'll tell you this, though. She went to prison for 27 years.
That's right.
Donna Hilton. It's a great, great story. Trust me.
And when you hear her life story, she's from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And
the island.
Yeah, she got, not Queens.
Somebody's Jamaica,
oh
Queens.
Oh, my God.
The island.
Jamaica. Anyway, she got snatched out of Jamaica, brought to the United States, brought to New York, and things just were crazy for her in her life. So the fact that she is as resilient and strong as she is
is
amazing.
If it's you feel like giving up, when you hear this woman's story, you understand why you can't give up, because she never gave up.
It's a great story. Yeah. Trust us. It's a story of healing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's get the show cracking.
Healing is another ending process, by the way, there I think. Go.
All right, front page news, what are we talking about?
We are going to talk about one of our favorite stores. I don't know if you like this store, Envy, but I know me and Charlamagne probably love this store. 390 of these stores are going to be closing. I was very disappointed when I heard this.
If you tell me, Target.
If you guys love it, I'm probably not going to really take to it too much.
Yeah, because you bougie.
Call it what you want. But anyway, we'll get to that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
What's happening? Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, my God.
But
today is National Cereal Day.
This guy right
I don't really ever eat cereal.
Y'all, you know what? First of all, cereal is not a breakfast food. It's a snack. Anybody that eats cereal for breakfast is a terrorist. It's a
what?
Snack.
Isn't that what it's for?
Nope, it's a snack.
Well, let's get in some front page news. You know the only cereal I ever ate was Raisin Bran?
Oh, my God.
Ever in life?
Yeah, I don't like any
cereal. I grew up loving Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes.
Fruit Loops is banging. Frosted Flakes is banging. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
What's the one with the chocolate chip cookies, the little mini cookies?
Cookie Crisp.
It
was either Raisin Bran or Eggos. I always had Eggos in my house.
Eggos ain't no cereal.
Eggos waffles. That's what I had for breakfast. Eggos waffles. And then for a snack, I had Eggo waffles.
Had a terrible childhood.
Well, that explains the waffle comparison. You are what you eat.
You're a waffle-colored Negro. But I'm bumped. Definitely a waffle-colored Negro.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's get in some front-page news. Congratulations to LeBron James. He passed Michael Jordan. He's now number 4 on the scoring list. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is number 1. Karl Malone is 2.
And who's number 3?
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Jelly Bean Bryant.
And 4 is LeBron James. Congratulations. 2 Chainz was in attendance and actually gave him one of his chains as he passed Michael Jordan.
He's still not the greatest basketball player of all time. Y'all can stop those conversations. Okay, two of the greatest basketball player of all time is number 4 on that list. That's Michael Jordan. And then after that,
Michael Jordan's 5 on the list.
Number 5. After that, the discussion should be Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, if you're talking about that position.
What about currently? Would you say that he's the greatest player currently playing?
No, yeah. Not this year.
He is the best player in the league.
Not this year.
He was injured. Who's better than him?
The dude from Milwaukee, the Greek Freak.
Greek Freak.
Whose name I can't pronounce.
That's why I said the same thing, the Greek Freak. But if you do stats, LeBron had 32,311 points. He had 8,000 rebounds. Jordan had 6,000 rebounds. He had 8,000 assists. Jordan had 5,000 assists. And field goal percentage, he had 50.4. Jordan had 49.7.
So?
Just talking stats.
Great, great careers, both of them, but Michael Jordan's the GOAT.
All right, now, what else are we talking about, Yee?
Dollar Tree is closing up to 390 Family Dollar stores. They're going to close these and also renovate 1,000 other locations. They said they have a $2.3 billion loss. You know I love a dollar store.
Yeah, Family Dollar got taken out a long time ago by Dollar General, though.
Yeah, it's hard, and there's so many dollar stores. I don't even know the difference.
Yeah, I hate dollar stores because nothing in there really costs a dollar.
Nothing's a dollar in there anymore.
But there's some fantastic dollar stores where you can get some great bargains.
No, that's a fact.
That's where I buy all my household supplies. So
that is a fact.
All right, now let's discuss Alex Trebek. You know him from Jeopardy.
Trebek.
Yes, he's been the host of Jeopardy, and he said he has no plans to retire, even though he's been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That's really tough. Mm. So he said he is going to still finish out this season. He actually did a video message, and here's what Alex Trebek had to say.
This week, I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally, the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working. And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years.
I've never heard him talk outside of hosting Jeopardy ever in my life.
And he always sounds like Jeopardy.
That is the first time I've ever had him heard him talk, have a regular conversation.
And he sounded like he was doing Jeopardy.
Stage 4 pancreatic cancer is a tough one to beat, so our prayers are with him.
Absolutely. That is crazy, because I used to think that Alex Trebek, Pat Sajak, and Vanna White were either vampires or robots. Because the key to living forever and not aging got to be to host a game show, because those three have been looking the exact same since I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning. Or maybe you just want to spread some positivity. Whatever it may be. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Amy!
Hi, this is Amé from San Diego.
Damn it, man. I'm never going to get your name right. It was spelled A. Never mind. Get it off your chest, Amé.
I watched the podcast because obviously I'm in San... I listened to the podcast because obviously I'm in San Diego, California, so it was really hard for me to listen at work. But I decided to call in a little earlier, or at 3 a.m., because I want to talk about Michael Jackson. I'm a little bit behind because obviously I listened to the podcast.
Michael Jackson but, allegedly was a little bit behind, too.
The Neverland Ranch, it's in California. This is a sex trafficking state. We actually have a lot of kids that are abandoned, that are physically abused, that are sexually abused, that need temporary placement. I personally work with those kids, and we send a lot of those kids to San Diego, but we don't really have anything up north. And instead of selling it, why don't we use it something for good and use it as something for good and turn it into somewhere where they have temporary placement for these children?
But who owns it? Who owns Neverland Ranch?
I thought the estate still owns it.
Yeah, I thought the estate still
owns it. I know it's up for sale, though.
Yeah, they're trying to sell it.
And if it's from the family, then the family should... Michael Jackson wanted it for the children, so why don't they use it for the children?
I thought they should turn it into an amusement park.
Well, the estate probably doesn't want to have to deal with the upkeep of it, and maybe there's some bad memories for the family.
I don't like people saying turn it into a positive. Like, we know for sure Michael Jackson was doing that to them young men.
That's true.
Oh, no.
I don't know why people just can't say we don't really know what happened.
We don't really know, and personally, like I said, I work with those kids, and if I really believe that Michael Jackson did something like that, I wouldn't want to send them to a facility where had happened.
I'm sorry. You're right.
But I'm saying that if there's nothing that we can do with it, and they lowered the price so much, and there's, why don't they give it over to... donate it, do something good with it, and turn it into something that Michael Jackson would have wanted. He wanted it for the children.
I agree, but who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to.
That's a huge upkeep. That's a lot.
It's a large donation.
But thank you, Mama, for that idea.
Yeah. Hope. All right, thank you.
Red.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Red? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with you, DJ Envy. You keep playing the same lineup, my brother. We got new music out there.
No.
Sir, sir, you don't listen. I do not pick the music.
Liar.
I do not pick the music that the Breakfast Club plays.
Envy sitting here eating waffles, playing the same songs.
Every morning. Like, real talk. And good morning, Angela Lee.
Good morning. It's
you. Angela Lee. Okay. Listen, sir, I don't know how many times I have to say it. I do not pick the music that the Breakfast Club plays.
Stop lying. You sound like R. Kelly with Gail yesterday.
I did not pick the music. I've been doing this for 9 years. No, I honestly don't.
You've been picking this music for 9 years.
I don't pick the music that the Breakfast Club plays. Anyway.
We saw the tape, Envy.
Anonymous.
Hey, what's up, Charlamagne? What's up, Envy?
What's happening?
What up?
I have a question for you,
Charlamagne.
Am I reading this right? You're stressed out because another man grabbed your penis?
Yeah. It's like, over the weekend, I was working, and this dude was sitting in the back seat. He's like, yo, can I jump in the front seat? I was like, yeah, sure. And then he was like, wow, you have a beautiful lips. And then the old chubby was keep looking at me. He was like, okay. And then the next thing I know, he's like, yo, do we have a big I was like, what?
Who said that to you, sir?
He said Charlamagne.
I was uncomfortable, but I didn't want to be rude, you know. Like, and then he was keep looking at me, and guess what? At the end of the trip, he grabbed my and jumped out.
So you got sexually assaulted.
So why was he riding in the front?
Yep, I didn't want to be rude. You know, gay people are so sensitive. I didn't want to be rude.
First of all, I don't care if you gay, straight, whatever. Ain't got nothing to do with being sensitive. You cannot jump in my car and sexually assault me.
To answer the question, do you think being gay is cool?
Is it cool?
I don't care if you get it.
I think being yourself is cool.
Yeah, but
whatever that is.
Is that what you're thinking about after a man?
Yeah, what happened to you is not cool.
No, that's not cool.
Like, okay? That has
nothing to do with you today. What would you do? What would you do?
Nothing. He grabbed your penis and ran. What you going to do?
Do you know him?
No, I don't.
All right.
You
going
to chase him down?
I would say if you have his information, you could press charges and file a complaint.
You sound kind of upset.
Are you an Uber driver?
You didn't give him your number.
Oh, he hung up. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
What up, Trav?
Yo, what's up, Envy?
What's up, bro?
Hi, Trav. Trav.
Doing,
Trav, I'm excited. Trav is coming to my lip service live show, and he's going to be the person holding the mic in the audience.
Hey,
March 28th.
I'm known for holding the mic, bitch. I'm known for holding the mic.
There at you Caroline, go. So come see Trav as he takes the mic around the audience.
What's going on, Char?
What's up, sis? How you?
I'm doing good. Listen. Well, first of all, Charlamagne, I've been meaning to say this to you for a while. Don't act like we don't know what you was doing when you was off for a little 2 days, like last week.
What was I doing?
Uh-oh. Tell us.
Getting a hair consultation for your new hair.
Never.
Hey, man.
Oh. Never.
They got to test one little patch.
Never will you see me out here with Beijing in my scalp, sir. Ever.
Oh, no. You're not getting Beijing. You're going to get the real thing. They're going to bend you over, take the little hair out your
Never.
Booty crack and put it on top of your head.
Never. I'm good. I'm so.
He made that
I'm
sound
so
like a party.
I'm so secure being bald, man. I'm cool with all of that.
But listen, can we, I feel like I'm slacking. I haven't been doing my duty. I know J. Cole was so disappointed in me. Can we please drop one of Clues bombs for the LeBron James the rap for the middle child video and for a middle child going platinum? He deserves it. Give my man his flowers while he's here. J. Cole, I love you. You will always be the greatest. You will always be the greatest of all time.
You give him flowers every day. He knows.
Yes, and J. Cole is not the LeBron James the rap, sir. J. Cole has never been put on the pedestal that LeBron James has been put on, sir.
Why do you argue with him every day?
Because it's the truth.
So then one more thing. Can I just drop one
Clues
bomb for Gayle King? Because I can only pray that the Lord gives me the patience of a Gayle King when a is yelling at me in my face like that.
That's right. We're gonna call, and when that happens, we're going to call you the Gay King of hip-hop. All right?
Goodbye, Ty. Ty, what up, Ty?
What's going on, Breakfast Club?
What's up, man? Get it off your chest.
All right, I'm blessed and I'm stressed.
All right.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, I'm blessed because, you know, money right, family right. God woke me up this morning, so I'm blessed for that.
Okay.
But I'm stressed because my kid is a senior and he's getting ready for prom. And I did not know going into prom season, it's like a mini wedding now.
It definitely is.
It's expensive. Like, you got to get the right car, the right outfit. It's like these kids go crazy out here for prom now. Like, My pockets is screaming right now.
Yeah, well, you know what you do? You go to Zara. Is it either Zara or what's the other place that sells the suits, dope suits for inexpensive? H&M. You get a dope suit out of there. Because the suit.
He don't want no suit from H&M.
You can get a dope. The suit don't matter. It's the shoes. You get some a regular suit and you get some dope shoes. The shoes matter.
No, it's not even the shoes no more. It's the cars. They all about what they about to put.
Envy, let him borrow one of your cars.
Why don't you just rent a tux like back in the day?
That's what I said.
They don't do that no more, Charlamagne. I'm trying to tell you, these kids
go to the oak tree.
Like it's a mini wedding. Like it's crazy.
I don't know what kind of car he expect to pull up in. What you want? Who do you want? A Phantom or something?
I don't know what he want, but I'm about to go get a rental car from the Avis or something.
Well, you could get a.
Not get no damn rental
you could
car
get a
no
nice Lyft or a nice
you
Uber.
You better not get no Lyft at this.
Yeah,
Uber
they have fancier cars that you could rent.
Where you from?
Oh, I'm from Jersey. We talked before when we talked about the Jesse Smollett situation.
Listen, okay. I'm telling you right now, all you got to do is use an Uber or a Lyft and get one of the little special cars they have that cost a little more. They get dropped off, and then when they're ready to leave, you call for them to get picked up.
That's definitely not going to be fly. That's going to be whack if the car's not waiting for them. They got to come outside and wait 20 minutes to get a car. That's going to be whack.
And my son, he like that. I want this. I want that. I'm like, bro, we still got senior fees. We got senior pictures. We got graduation. Like, it costs a lot when your kid become a senior.
But you only got one prom.
When Envy and Charlamagne, when your daughters get older, for their prom, it's going to be way more than a boy because y'all got to get makeup, eyelashes, shoes, all that. Like, I feel bad for y'all.
You don't feel bad for me. I feel you, though.
I already know.
I feel you, though.
All right, bro.
All right, take care.
All right, man. Jay!
Yo, good morning.
Get it off your chest, Jay.
I just wanted to talk about the Michael Jackson stuff that's happening right now. I don't know if you guys have heard that they're going to take off his music catalog throughout
Canada. Like, yeah, somewhere else.
Yeah, Canada. And New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
What's going on?
Yeah, we heard about it. What's up, bro?
I just want to know why they're trying to destroy our legends now. This is really starting to get to me in a bad way. Because now it's like, if you take away our legends, who do we have left?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody took away R. Kelly. R. Kelly did it to himself. Okay? Nobody took away Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby did it to himself. Michael Jackson is the only one that I think there is a full-fledged conspiracy behind destroying his legacy. And that was happened when he was alive, and it's still happening when he's dead.
Yeah, but people can still make that same argument that he did it to himself, too.
Depending on if you believe it or not. But I mean, the truth of the matter is, we really don't know. Like, that's all you can say when it comes to Michael Jackson. You don't have to make a decision on Michael Jackson.
They said that Leaving Neverland premiere was HBO's third most watched documentary in a decade.
And it wasn't even a documentary. Too one-sided.
Yeah.
What are you calling for, though, sir? What do you want us to say?
Okay. Well, you have a great day, bro.
All right, you guys too.
I don't understand what is he trying to say. Like, yo, either you still like Michael's music or you don't like Michael's music. It's either or. Same thing with R. Kelly and all of them. Like, you make your own decisions in life.
All right, well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, well, we'll be keeping you updated this morning because, you know, Joycelyn Savage and Asriel Clary, they're the two women that are still with R. Kelly. They are going to be speaking today on CBS this morning, so we'll be giving you those updates. But in the meantime, R. Kelly is behind bars. We'll give you that update.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future.
building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Yes! Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV. Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We all the Breakfast
Good morning.
Club.
We up in here.
National Cereal Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, let's get to these rumors. Let's talk R. Kelly.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, R. Kelly. So let's talk about a couple of different things. First of all, he is back behind bars. And the reason for that is because he hasn't paid his child support. He had the deadline was yesterday for him to pay the full amount that he had to pay, which was like $161,000. He still did not do that. Now, if you remember in the interview with Gayle King, he said that he wants to have a relationship with his kids. And he's been trying to, but he's not allowed to. But he's not even paying his child support that he owes. According to sources close to the situation, they said he hasn't even tried to reach out to his three kids with his ex-wife, Drea Kelly, since 2017. And remember, Drea said she is open to having R. Kelly reconnect with their kids who are now adults.
It's wild that R. Kelly is broke, bro. Like, I mean, I Believe I Can Fly should still be making him millions of dollars.
He spent a lot of money, spent a lot of money on lawyer fees, fighting cases.
Doesn't own his publishing. Who owns his publishing? Michael Jackson?
He's stupid.
Well, all I know is there are new allegations against him, and that's an incident that happened in Detroit back in 2001. The alleged victim was 13 years old at the time. So right now they are working on following up with this new information and with the attorney as well.
R. Kelly's going to prison.
Yeah, even if he doesn't go to prison, he'll probably be homeless because he won't be able to afford anything. He can't do any shows. He can't afford a lawyer and pay for his legal team anymore.
But he has some fans. Like, look, the woman that paid $100,000 to bail him out.
Yeah.
R. Kelly would be a fire homeless person, though.
Standing
on the corner singing. You'll keep money in his cup.
Well, this morning, you'll hear from Joycelyn Savage and Azriel Clary. They're going to be on CBS This Morning with Gayle King. Now, these are two women who are in a relationship with R. Kelly, but their families think they have Stockholm Syndrome. So R. Kelly met Joycelyn Savage at a concert when she was 19 years old. Azriel Clary was 17 when she met R. Kelly at one of his concerts. Here is Azriel Clary right now, a trailer from the interview that's going to air this morning.
When I first met Robert, my parents told me to lie about my age. So when I met him, he thought that I was 18. When I met him, they even lied to the police. They told the police that I was 18. They told R. Kelly that I was 18. So here's this man thinking that I am 18.
Everything that she's saying is true. Our parents are basically out here just to get money.
I hope that's not the case, boy.
I mean, listen, man, y'all keep saying they got Stockholm Syndrome, but those two women sound like they're grown and they made a choice.
Well, he's not going to jail for this, by the way. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. There's other allegations with underage girls and tapes that have served. So this has nothing to do with his jail situation. Yeah. If you did that one time, it's wrong, period. It doesn't matter what else happens.
Oh, no, I agree. Just because R. Kelly isn't doing anything wrong with those two women doesn't mean he still doesn't have a problem with sleeping with underage girls. I actually had a guy say to me yesterday that he can't believe we come at R. Kelly the way that we do. We should wait on the facts. I'm like, bruh, I saw the facts 20 years ago in a barbershop in Groose Creek, South Carolina on a VHS tape.
Okay? All right, now, Azriel Clary actually broke down talking to Gayle King about R. Kelly and about her parents.
You guys don't know the truth. You guys believe in some facade that our parents are saying. This is all lies for money. And if you can't see that, you're ignorant and you're stupid.
Yeah, because R. Kelly ain't got no money no more.
Yeah, I pray that their parents didn't sell them out for fame or some money. I pray.
Well, Asriel Clary's parents say they have text messages that show that R. Kelly had sex with her when she was 17 years old. And he denies these things. He said he hasn't had sex with any underage girls.
Liar.
Now, in the meantime, R. Kelly's team is arranging a meeting between Joycelyn and the Savage family. So Joycelyn is finally going to see her family and be reunited with them. It's been quite some time since that has happened. They actually put up this video of the Savage family speaking with their daughter, Joycelyn Savage, and with her siblings. Here's how it went.
I have told you guys a million, million times that I am okay where I am, and I'm happy. Where I'm at, and you need to stop.
Hey, Joycelyn. It's Jory.
Hey, Jory.
We love you, Joycelyn.
I love you, too.
As a father, if I ever get to the point in my life where I have to arrange a meeting with any of my daughters, I don't want to see them.
No, you would still want to see them.
Hey, arrange a meeting?
Still would want to see them.
No.
I'm with Charlamagne, man. If I got to arrange...
You don't want to see your daughter?
If I got to arrange a meeting, if it's to the point where she doesn't want to speak to me and she doesn't want to talk to me...
Yeah, but if you're concerned about your children's safety, I can't imagine you not wanting to.
There's something wrong with that. Well, first of all, I don't think Madison or London or Brooklyn would ever get to that level, but if I had to arrange a meeting where my daughter didn't want to talk to me and she's a grown-ass woman...
Something else is broken down in the dynamic between me and my daughter.
Yeah, something else is wrong.
Meeting with her.
Something else is wrong. They should never get to that point.
Well, the Savage family, in the meantime, their lawyers are denying that they, quote, sold their daughter to R. Kelly, and here's what those claims are.
At no point did the Savage family provide or sell their daughter to Robert Sylvester Kelly. This family has not spoken directly to their daughter in 2 years.
Question.
Yes.
Hearing those two young women defend R. Kelly in that way, in the future, if those two women come out and said they were actually manipulated and abused by R. Kelly, how would we handle that?
I would believe them.
You would believe them?
I would.
Okay.
They're very young, very impressionable.
But this is
17 years old when you met him.
How old are they now?
21. I thought 22.
20 and 21, I think.
So after seeing them on CBS this morning... Mm-hmm. Defending him in that way, crying, saying their parents are lying, parents have sold them. In the future, if they come out and say R. Kelly abused and manipulated them,
they're 21 and 23 now.
We're gonna like this. That's integrity. That's I don't know what the word.
Yeah, because they would have Stockholm syndrome. That could happen.
And that's a real
thing. That is a real
thing. People get kidnapped and they sympathize
with their
kidnapper. That's a real thing. Not just people with Stockholm syndrome.
They actually
want to stay with the person who is their abuser.
Right.
And that's a real mental anguish.
So even after him telling us right now he's not abusing us, he's not manipulating us.
Yeah, that's exactly what Stockholm syndrome is.
If they change their tune in the future.
Absolutely. 100%. That's what the symptoms are.
Well, Stockholm syndrome came from a bank that was robbed out overseas, and when they finally arrested the robbers, the people that were...
And the bank
sympathized for them and would not testify against them. So that's where the term came from. But, yeah, Stockholm syndrome is that.
You defend the person that kidnapped you, took you hostage. You have trust toward them.
Right.
You're affectionate toward them. You love them.
So it's impossible for y'all to believe that they want to be there?
I'm saying if they turn around and say they were manipulated, that is exactly what Stockholm syndrome is. If they turn around and say, yes, he did kidnap us, he did abduct us, he did manipulate us, I would believe them.
But let me ask you guys one question.
I wouldn't question it at all.
Yeah, I would question everything. But let me ask you one question, right? You seen the tape. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you seen the tape.
Which one?
R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Would you allow your daughters to do anything with R. Kelly if you were a good parent? Would you? Let's be honest.
No, but I don't like putting it on the parents. And the reason I don't like putting it on the parents because...
If R. Kelly's wrong, he's wrong. It doesn't matter.
But they brought the daughter to R. Kelly. And they're all wrong all the way around. But I'm just saying, as a father that loves my daughter and will do anything, die for my daughter, bust my ass for my daughter, I'm not bringing her to R. Kelly. That's me personally.
But if I had to do a percentage of who's to blame in this situation, R. Kelly's 97.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. The parents might be about 3.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Yee. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Oh, we are going to talk about Colorado police. They're under investigation. We'll talk about the viral video that made that happen.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, what up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. I know you heard about the hot new Samsung Galaxy S10. It's an absolute game changer. Pre-order yours through March 7th and get a pair of Galaxy Buds for free. And if you pre-order on Samsung.com, you get up to $550 for eligible trade-ins. The Samsung Galaxy S10, be the first. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Congratulations to LeBron James. All right, LeBron James passed Michael Jordan on the scoring list. He is now number 4. Let me give you the list. Number 1 is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Number Legend. 2 is Karl Malone.
Legend.
Number 3 is Kobe Bryant.
Legend.
4 is LeBron James.
Legend.
So he passed Michael Jordan last night, and 2 chains was in attendance and gave him one of his chains. So.
Yeah, LeBron's his A&R, so you know how that goes.
No, he'll have plenty more time to do more 2 Chainz albums because the Lakers not making the playoffs this year.
Definitely not. I think they're 6 games out, 6 games away, something like that.
I know they're not making the playoffs.
All right, what else are we talking about, Ye?
Well, let's talk about our viral cell phone video. Now, this video shows police in Colorado, multiple white police officers, some of them had their guns drawn. They were confronting a man, a black man, and that black man was just picking up trash on his own property. So now there is an internal affairs investigation. Now, this incident happened on Friday around 8:30 a.m., and the man's identity has not been released, but somebody did start filming everything with a cell phone, one of the neighbors. Here's what happened.
Don't tell me what to do. You guys don't have a goddamn right to be doing this. I pay my taxes.
We live here picking up garbage.
And I feel threatened.
Sit down and drop.
No. I will not sit down. I refuse to sit down.
Will you please
until you guys turn your weapons away. What, are you going to shoot me?
No, no one's going to shoot
me. Or you're going to tase me and arrest me and beat the shit out of me like every other... No, don't tell me what to do. Get off my property.
I hate to say it, but I have to see the video. That's a black man?
Yes, a black man. It's a 60-minute video,
mm-hmm.
and he's on his own property picking up trash. The cops come, they call for backup, and he's not doing anything wrong.
They let him talk slick for 60 minutes?
16.
Oh, 16. Oh.
He's okay. on his own That's property. Cool. He had no weapon on him. He wasn't even doing anything. So why are you on my property?
Yeah, I seen this and I thought the same thing. I would do the same thing. If I'm on my property and you bother me, I'ma talk crazy. I'ma talk ish. Why the hell are you on my property? Get the F out of here. Nobody called. I'm taking out the trash.
He's I would picking say all up trash on his own property.
I'd definitely go.
Who did they think he was?
They thought he was trespassing or something.
Who called the police?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I would wild out too. This is my property. I pay my taxes. I pay my mortgage or my rent, and you're gonna come here? Nah.
I don't think anybody called the police. I think they just saw this man.
Seen a black
in
man
in the area.
In the area, and was like, and he's had to a figure criminal out or suspect. No,
was he allowed to be there?
No.
Yeah, stories like that make you have to take a WPB. You know, that's a white people.
That word. Made you so angry just Mm-mm. now to hear this man picking up trash on his own
Absolutely.
Property for the cops to just come and be like, "Are you supposed to be here?" Now, officers did ultimately determine he had a legal right to be on the property, and he even showed his ID, showing that it was his property.
All right, I'm triggered. I need a white people break. Steve, don't talk to me for an hour.
Yeah, that is
Steve,
crazy.
Do not look me in the eye for an hour.
All right, well, that okay. is your front page news.
Talking to our cameraman, Steve, he's white.
Could you imagine Ooh. You at your crib, you pay your taxes, you pay your mortgage, you work hard and bust your ass for it, and they tell you, you're not supposed to be here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Get off my property.
Get off my property.
I showed you my ID.
That's some damn nerve. Jeez, all right. What are we doing now? Oh, yeah. Got me so pissed off. All right. What are we doing next? All right. That's front page news. Now, when we come back, Donna Hilton will be joining us. Now, explain to the people who Donna Hilton is.
Donna Hilton has a great book out called A Little Piece of Light. It's a memoir of hope, prison, and a life unbound. She did 27 years in prison. Okay.
But before she got to that point, she went through a lot of trauma. She was...
Don't tell her whole story.
Right.
You know I'm saying? She was... That's what the whole book is
27
about.
27 years in prison reeled him in.
All right. We'll get that next. We'll get that on next. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Back. You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
A very interesting individual.
Yes, Donna Hilton. Welcome.
Good morning, Donna.
A survivor.
Oh, my goodness. Your story is crazy.
She has a book, A Little Piece of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Donna.
You
Who is Donna Hilton?
Who's Donna Hilton? Donna Hilton, first and foremost, is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that. I think oftentimes we talk about people that have survived mass incarceration, and we're looked at as less than human. We are not valued. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to lead humanizing those of us that continue to be vilified. So I'm a human being. I'm a Black woman, a proud Black woman.
Absolutely.
I'm a mother, a proud mother. I'm a work in progress. I'm an author.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an activist. And I'm also the director of the Women and Girls Project at Catal Center for Health, Equity, and Justice.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the path that got you to where you are today. Because reading your memoir, you discuss basically the really tragic childhood that you had that led to you getting incarcerated. So let's start at the beginning, where you were in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And at a very young age, you ended up coming to the United States, but not by choice.
I was born on the island of Jamaica. I was there up until I was like 7 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful childhood, but it did have hard moments, right? My mother, my natural mother, as I know now, being an adult, she had some mental health issues, right? Because she would oftentimes like beat me really bad. And she was into this ritualistic stuff called Obia, right? Call it voodoo. So...
Yeah, right? She would cut you, she would do things like that.
So she dropped, yeah. So I still have it. If anybody feel my forehead, I still have it right here. I feel like a unicorn growing up because it was real pronounced. Like when I was 3 years old, I remember this clearly. So my family owns a bar in Portland on William Street. And it was from there I used to go play on the beach because it's like 3 blocks from the water.
Mm-hmm.
So one day my mother and my aunt were in the back of the bar. And they were talking, and then my mother just reaches down, picks me up, and like holds me. Mm-hmm. And then she throws me up in the air, and she, you know, she catches me. She throws me up in the air, she catches me. She threw me up the third time, and her hand, I didn't know her hand went back, but I could see it now, older.
Mm-hmm.
Her hand went back, and I fell flat on my face. Jeez. On the concrete floor.
Mm.
The concrete floor. So I got this ever since. And... so that was so prominent in my, like, in my memory. Like, it was something I remember because it was so traumatic, and I was crying, and I was like, no one picked me up, no one helped me. And I remember her and my aunt, I remember it. And she was like, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, you look at her, like, what did you do? So they were fighting about what she did to me, and I'm, like, shaking, and, you know, I remember that.
Was there a lesson in that, supposedly? Was she trying to teach
no,
you?
No, she just
that?
Used to do she things had, like that.
She had, like, just, a mental...
Yeah, she issue. Would just, like, you know, bipolar. She would just in and out, in mm-hmm. and out. When she was with me, she used to, you know, she would make tea, could cook. Like, my mother could cook. I remember that well. And she was just so loving. She would, like, you know, that's why I say it in the book. She would hold me and she loved me. And then when she was not there, you know, when she was out of it,
You said she would burn you with fire?
She burnt. So my mother burnt me. She would make this bathtub with scalding hot water. Mm-hmm. And she would put these herbs in it. That's all I could say. These stuff that she used to concoct, whatever. And put it in there and put me in it.
Mm.
So I'm young. And, you know, your skin is more tender. You haven't developed yet. So she would put me in this tub. And, yes.
Wow.
All right, so then you ended up coming to New York.
So I think I was like six when my mother had a boyfriend, and he was working for this family called the Hiltons in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day my mother said, you have to go take his lunch to him. He forgot his bag of lunch. So I said, okay. And she told me where to go, so I went. It was then when I went to the house where he was working at that I met the Hiltons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I met Roy Hilton, who would then later on start talking to my mother, I guess, if I can figure it out now,
mm-hmm.
About bringing me to America. What was said to me was that I was going to this place, this beautiful, magical place. Now, mind you, I grew up around, you saw it. It's beautiful. We have butterflies and dragonflies. It's just amazing. And in New York, I was a kid, and I was traumatized, so I would, I had imaginary friends, right? So I would, in my head, I pictured whatever they looked like. So I was picturing this place like that, this beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, of course I want to go. Like, what kid, it's like being in a candy store. So by the time I was 7 and a half, I was brought to America, and I really just thought I was going to Disney, mm-hmm. Disneyland at the time. Mm-hmm. Disney World didn't exist yet. And I never went back home.
Did they know what you was going through at home with your mom? Did they know you was, you know?
I don't know what they knew.
Yeah.
I don't know what they knew, but knowing what I know about the Hiltons now, I don't think it would have mattered,
yeah.
right? Because they brought me here for their own reason.
They were taking advantage of a vulnerable situation anyway.
They took advantage.
Were they rich?
Anyway.
Did they have money? Or
I mean, they were like a middle to upper middle class black family.
Mm-hmm.
My adoptive mother, she eventually became one of the directors for New York State Mental Health. So by the time I was 9 and a half, my father, my now father, started taking me to a closet and raping me.
Mm.
And doing all kinds, sodomizing me, all kinds of things. So by the time I was 12, I went to school and I was tired. I was emotionally tired. I was mentally tired. I was physically tired. I needed help. And my mother wouldn't help me because I said, I need a key for my door. I thought the help that I needed was just giving me a key to the door so I could lock the door.
Right. Wow.
Because that was in the child's way. That's, you know, you can't really understand that, right? So I just needed a key to lock the door so I would not be hurt anymore. But they wouldn't give me a key to the door. They wouldn't even give me a key to the apartment.
It's so peculiar that for her, somebody that works in mental health and was so intelligent,
exactly.
Clearly she knew what was happening.
Absolutely.
And you even tried to tell a counselor, mm-hmm. who contacted your mother, and instead you got in trouble and no one believed you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so difficult is, when you're crying out for help, when you feel so isolated and you finally have the courage to speak, to not be believed, how difficult is something like that?
It is. It's difficult for women. It's even more difficult for black women. And it's extremely difficult for black little girls. You know what I mean? To be heard and to be understood and for anybody to really like want to hear what you're saying. Because there was no way at 12, I go to school and I said, I need help. I'm in pain. I'm tired of being hurt. You know, she sat me down. I looked around. And then I started getting like, maybe. But I was like, no, she's going to help me. I started feeling like, you know, right. like, okay, I'm going to get some help. She said, okay, I'm going to call your mother. I don't know what she said to her, mm-hmm. really. I just know that she said, the woman took the phone from her ear and she said, your mother wants to talk to you. She passed the phone. I got the phone to my ear. And all she did was, Donna Patricia. She just yelled and she said, how dare you? And she just went off.
Do you think she groomed you to be there for her husband?
Yes.
Because she didn't want to be with him. And that was just her. You were like the sacrifice of, mm-hmm. okay, here's how you can please yourself. And I'm going to go about my
And just
my
leave
business.
Me alone. And I'm doing what I'm doing. Because she was so into her book, so into her work. She was great. Like, she was that person. But when I was writing the book, you know, it had to be vetted. It had to go. And I had to like myself. Because, like, you have memories of stuff and you're not sure what it was. I remember it just... She knew because she would leave me in the house and be quiet. Don't make a noise. Your father doesn't like to make a noise. Christmas time, it just something about Christmas time. I didn't understand that. I thought it was pretty. I never had a tree. So it was a lot to take in as a kid. But one day I started waking up and I said, I miss my mommy. I want to go home. I want my mother. You know, but
even though she abused you, you still miss her.
It's my mother. Yeah, you know, your mother. Your mother will hurt you. Your mother will do stuff, but you know who your mother is.
All right, we have more with Donna Hilton when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have a special guest still in the building, Miss Donna Hilton. So, what gave you the courage? Because, you know, you finally decided to run away and go to Philly. What gave you that courage?
Oh, I didn't decide that, really. And so what happened?
How old were you then?
I was 14.
14.
See, so I wasn't too much. Saved.
I thought I was getting saved. So, right. Yeah, you really read the book. So there. So what I didn't know really could put into words then was that my adoptive father was doing these deals, these things, putting together these situations. What he was doing was getting people that weren't citizens to marry citizens.
And green cards.
Green card.
Gotcha.
Right. And so this is what, the 70s, right? So it was free then. Like, it was simpler. And there was this older man in the apartment building. Mm-hmm. I come from lived in a complex. So he would often be in and out of the apartment. I didn't know what they were doing, but he was there. We had a terrace. I remember one day being on the terrace and he asked me my name. You know, he knew my name was, but he asked my name, how are you? He was just being, you know, nice. And series of conversations like that. How are you? How are you feeling? Stuff like that. One day, I said, I'm going to tell him. Because I was 12 when I had said something. It didn't stop.
Right.
I was 14 now, and I had taken the SAT and SSAT and all this stuff. And I had received a very prominent scholarship. And I think when I looked at it, I knew it was taking me out of the house. But I'd never been out of the house. Like, I would never be able to go outside. I didn't have a key. I couldn't play with kids. I didn't have any social skills. And I think there was a part of me that was very afraid.
To go to boarding school.
Yeah, I was very afraid. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. But then I was also... So there's so many things going on. Mm-hmm. So I have a father that's raping me every day. Mm-hmm. I have this boarding school, you know, on the line, and a mother that's not being a mother. And all these things, right? And trying to understand and navigate that. And so he, you know, he talked to me and he's like, how are you? How are you feeling? You okay? And I think he knew, I have to emphasize this, and I put this out a lot on my social media. Sexual predators want you to acknowledge their power, but they don't want to acknowledge our pain. Mm. Predators know prey. I didn't know that this older man was a predator, but he knew prey. So once I started telling him that, you know, what was going on, because he got it out of me, and mm-hmm. I told him. And he listened. He didn't do what the counselor did. He didn't shut me down.
He didn't tell him.
He didn't tell.
He's your adoptive father, right?
No, I'm telling the man that he was doing the deals with. Right, so it was in the house. And he would be there periodically because they were doing the deals or whatever. So, and so I opened up and I told him. And so I remember him saying to me clearly, I'm going to help you. That was like the magical words for me.
He was like, get that money and we're going to escape in the middle of the night.
That was the magical words for me, because all I wanted to do was not be taken into a closet anymore.
Gotcha.
And be hurt. And this older man, I was 14, he's like 25.
Mm-hmm.
He's way older than I am. I didn't know anything. He said, I would take you away. I was like, happy.
Yes, please.
Please. He became my worst nightmare. Mm.
It's another form of manipulation, another abuse.
But this is what they do. Yeah. Really understand this. Really understand this. Predators know prey. We prey on the most vulnerable. And the most vulnerable are kids, black, female, children.
Broken homes.
Broken homes. Poverty. You know, poverty is violence, is abuse. We have all these factors. And I didn't grow up in poverty with them. Absolutely not. But I grew up broken and traumatized and hurt. And very, very vulnerable. And it happens. And people say, oh, that's an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's somebody's reality. Now, how they interpret it and how they react to it and respond to it moving forward, after a while, you do have to be accountable for it.
You did 27 years in prison.
So I was convicted of the crimes of kidnapping and murder. Not rape, not torture, not sodomy, not all these things that are out there. I was convicted of kidnapping and murder. And along with seven, I think there was eight of us all together. So along with seven other people, I was convicted. Mm-hmm. And I was sent to Bedford Hills. I was 20, just turned 20, like just a few months in my 20th year. And I was still hurt. I was even more traumatized, severely broken than I was even as the kid.
Yeah, because prison couldn't help your situation. You never dealt with the trauma.
Nobody even asked. Let me just be really clear. Like, the justice system is flawed, right? Like, justice is blind for a reason, and it's blind that really for our people of color. It's not just lock somebody up and you think you're throwing away the key, because you're not throwing away a key, because 95% of people are getting out of prisons and jails. Mm-hmm. No one's staying in jail forever. It's very few that you see with the life on there and probably on death row. It's just not happening. So people don't realize people are coming out at some point. So we have to think about how we want people to come out.
It has to be a rehabilitation
process. We have
process.
To think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so when we go out, when we go in, when I went in at 20, I went in thinking like I was the only hurt and broken woman, girl in the world. Absolutely. I didn't know. I had no clue that anybody else was going through what I was going through. I mean, you know, because you don't know how to even think that way. You can't see the world. And I went in there and I met young women and older women just like me. So as I grew up and I started healing and I started helping to develop programs in Bedford Hills to respond to all this stuff, you know, I was just like, I got to be a part of change. I got to do better, because you know who you are after a point. But the thing is, a lot of us are not allowed to know who we are. We're not given that opportunity, that choice. I have another saying that I use, you know, freedom is fleeting. Justice is expensive. If you can't afford justice, all that's left is just us. Mm-hmm. That's why I do the work that I do. Because all those women that I met inside, a whole lot of them shouldn't be in prison. The response to what happened to them shouldn't be prison. It just shouldn't be prison.
I feel like women prisoners get lost in thought. Like, when you think mass incarceration, you don't think of all of these millions of women that are in prison. Mm-hmm. You always think of the men. So what are some of the differences between how men and women get treated?
So first of all, we have unique, right? We have unique situations and unique stories. We're unique in ourselves. Women, we go through different stuff. A lot of women that are in the prison systems are there because, first of all, they couldn't afford it. Again, justice is expensive, right? Mm-hmm. No one cared enough to say, hey, what's wrong? No one cared enough to say, well, maybe we should do so. We should figure out an alternative for you, right? Because we respond to things differently. So, and mental health is strong. Like, I went to Bedford, a lot of mental health. And they use the response to mostly women of color who have mental health is isolation. It's solitary confinement.
You were in solitary confinement.
Yeah, as a total 2.5 years, but a year, 6 months when I first went into Rikers Island, they call it protective custody, administrative segregation. When I tell you protective custody is isolation, is isolation. Don't know why that happened. That was 6 months. I had to fight to get out. I went to Bedford. The first couple of years I went in, a whole year out of that, I was in solitary confinement. And then at a point later on, to not give away much of the book, yes. So, and there, while there, I was listening to women, young women, screaming and just crying, and it was insane.
How did you not snap in solitary confinement?
Like, this was Menanor. I promise you, like, people ask me that question, and I have to be really honest with that. Like, I don't know. Mm. I just knew that I was so much more focused on the pain that I was hearing around me than my own pain.
All right, we got more with Donna Hilton when we come back. Don't move. Her story is amazing. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Donna Hilton. Charlamagne?
Because you said you were re-traumatized in jail. What are some of the links between the trauma and the incarceration?
Well, prison in its design is abusive. It's violent. Mm. That's why this, when we talk about shutting down Rikers Island, people don't understand that. You know, we get the pimp with the NIMBY stuff, you know, the NIMBYism. We get all this, well, where are they going to go? We can't have murderers and rapists and, you know, out in the streets. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, how do we treat people? Mm-hmm. People just get thrown into a prison, which is violent on its face. It's just the whole thing about it. We're dealing with a death now that, you know, people are being killed in prison. Is that better? Is that the response? Is that something that we should do? There's no help. How do we put people in prison for years because they have a drug addiction?
Right.
prison isn't a drug.
Unless they're on opioids, because that's a crisis now that we have to deal with.
They need rehabilitation.
Yeah, they need rehab.
We do need to right. So that's why I say, like, what happened in Bedford Hills was unique. Bedford Hills became the model for the world with the programs that we developed. We developed the first response program that responded in prison in that situation to HIV and AIDS. Out of we know what was going on, how we felt, because you know we were fortunate at the time to have a warden that said, you know, who else to know what they need but the women themselves. No one's ever taken the time out to say, with good intent, what do you need? How are you? How do you feel?
Right?
Are you hungry? Have you eaten today? Where are you sleeping? Things like that. Like, what don't you have? What do you think you might need? No one takes the time out to ask anyone that.
Mm-hmm.
If we notice what we do in the streets, right? We walk by so many homeless people. No one cares. I'm not walking by the home. I'm taking real good close attention. I have to be a little bit more better at it, though, because some people are, you know, they can fool you. But for the most part, mm-hmm. people are not just homeless because, right? They're not just homeless just because they want to be
they
homeless.
They got a story.
Something's happened.
Yeah, something happened.
It's the same thing.
A large percentage have mental illness.
Right. A large percent of people in prison have mental illness. And that's not the response.
Was it hard for you to adjust back into society? Like, how did you not come out more angry, more bitter, or did you?
No, I'm not bitter.
Okay.
I'll be very, very, very clear. Every single person that has ever done any harm to me, I have forgiven. Before I got out. I have no hate. I have no malice. I have no anger. And a lot of people around me respond just like that, like, yeah, okay, you're better than me. But you have to
I'm
think.
Learning, though.
I asked, you know, you said you forgave everybody. Did you reach out to the family?
So I wanted to. I wrote. So in here, the letters that I wrote, I was part of a writing workshop with Eve Ensler. Mm-hmm. And even before that, when I was in solitary confinement, I start the book talking about Mr. V. And, you know, I've been vilified by some folks saying, oh, why do I call him Mr. V? I'm still being disrespectful. What are you talking about? Like, that's my way. I keep him with me every single day. I didn't kill him. I didn't kidnap him. I didn't do anything like that to him. But I carry him with me every single second of every single day. So would I? But New York law, you can't.
How long did it take you to take accountability for your part?
So I, from the beginning, I said that I always said that I was guilty of driving a car. Now, I never went into detail how I came to be the driver. I was a designated driver. But I still took accountability. Why? Because I said, okay, I'll go witness a sexual, right, act, scene, whatever, between, and I had no clue, I didn't know his name. I didn't know anything about Mr. V. Absolutely nothing at all. But when everything was said and done, a human being's life was lost.
Absolutely.
You know? And it was like, Angie, I felt like I was in this black void. Like, how did I get here? Mm. It felt like I was sinking deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole. But that light, like what I saw under the closet, something kept holding me back. Like I was holding on to, because we are who we really are. Majority of us, the people in the world, are not bad people. We're not born bad. We're right. taught to hate. We're taught to do all this stuff. We're yeah. taught to react the way, because our environments, you know, makes us react in whatever way.
And it seems like part of your defense mechanism was to disassociate yourself from...
I always disassociated. Mm-hmm.
...from what was actually happening yeah. at the moment. And yeah. you've been doing that since you were a kid.
Yeah.
When all those bad stuff you started happening to you, did you ever think that was because of something they may have put on you back in the day? Like,
I was thinking that. You know, I'm Jamaican.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I was like, well, there's something following me. Is that... But I want to say this too for those that believe that. There's nothing greater than God.
So that's what I was going to ask. With that said, what broke that? Was there ever a point where you felt like if there was something on me, it's broken that?
I think for me, my reality was that I owned all the bad things. Like everybody that ever did anything bad to me, it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, everything that happens bad, if you're in that environment, kind of environment, you own it, right? It's like, this is my fault. The sun doesn't shine. It's my fault.
Mm.
People are angry. It's my fault. Don't say anything. Be quiet. Your father doesn't like noise. Gotta be quiet. So as soon as I felt like I dropped a spoon or I might turn the radio up a little bit, I'd be like this, right? I started owning it. And I was already being conditioned to believing that I did it. So I believe that everything bad happened to me was mine. So when I would start like trying to rationalize it, well, maybe some obia did like leap off on me, until one day I said, no. All you got to do is say no.
Right.
All you have to do is say no.
So, okay, like how close to whole could you ever truly get? You got 20 years of abuse and trauma, then 27 years of prison. Like,
I don't know if any human being's ever truly whole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're in this world.
We're all works in progress.
We all work, right. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Even if you don't act out something that's not cool, like, you think about things, or you get caught up into so much that I came out. You know, when you're taken away from society, you're in prison, you don't have all this busyness, right? I was scared to cry. I'm still, don't take me across the middle of the street. We have an issue there. I had to go with the light. I had to look, the white man say go, and the red man say stop. That's how they taught me. I was like, it didn't have pictures before. So, right.
Really?
You were two. it's so much has changed, but I try to embrace as much as I can in moments, right? Like, I think I'm better at social media. my gal Friday over there, Desiree, I was like, Desiree, am I doing this right? I don't know how to do this. I'd be looking at Jamila. I'd be like, Jamila, how do you do this? Because I still don't even understand how to do the Instagram stuff. Because it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot to really grasp, right? But I just got to take it in spurts. Whatever little enjoyment that I can get in the moment, I will do that. I don't care if it's just looking up and I see the sun. And when I look up and I see the sun is not covered. It doesn't have barbed wire or gun tower. That's kind of like blocking the thing. So to me, those are moments that...
Clear view.
Mm-hmm. It's mine. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's Donna Hilton. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to these rumors. Let's talk R. Kelly.
Listen up.
It's just in. All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
So as you know, part two of R. Kelly's interview on CBS This Morning with Gil King aired already. And one of the things that R. Kelly discusses is not having any money. What is his financial situation? He wasn't able to bail himself out of jail. He hasn't paid his child support. Right now, he's back in jail. Here's what he had to say.
So many people have been stealing my money. People was connected to my account. I went by myself for the first time to Bank of America. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know what the hell was going on.
When did you do that?
3 weeks ago. Because I was so tired of not knowing where my money was, where my publishing is.
Isn't that on you then?
A lot of it's on me.
Well, number one, he should have been banking black. Number two, this is why education is very important. It's been always rumors that R. Kelly couldn't read, and he seems to be proving that rumor true right there.
There's an app, by the way. You don't even have to go to the bank to know what's going on with your money. You can get the Bank of America app and look those things up online. But it's so important for you to know what's going on with your own money. The fact that you haven't gone to the bank.
Maybe
you
don't know how to work a smartphone.
I'm sure he does. Mm. All right, now, Gil King also asked him, you know, about making money because he's having issues there as well.
How can I pay child support?
Lord have mercy.
If my ex-wife is destroying my name and I can't work, how can I take care of my kids? How?
Your ex-wife
Use
says,
your common sense.
Your ex-wife says you abused her, Robert.
13 lies. 13 years being married.
Ooh. All right. Well, that's some more of the R. Kelly interview, in case you missed it, this morning.
Are we supposed to have sympathy?
I don't. I honestly don't.
I'm confused here. Like, the lack of accountability is astounding in this situation. He refuses to hold himself accountable. He put himself in this situation. Nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's move to something positive. All right. Barbie. It's the Barbie doll's 60th anniversary this month, and they are honoring several women they view as role models and sheroes. Among those women, Yara Shahidi. We know her from Blackish and Grownish. Love that. Naomi Osaka. We know her. She's a tennis star. There have several other women who are leading the way in art, tech, sports, media, and business. So I love the fact that they're doing this. And they said $1 from every doll sold will go toward the Dream Gap Project. That's an initiative that's put forth by Mattel to level the playing field for girls. They said, according to research, starting at age 5, girls start doubting their potential. So this is the Dream Gap. So they want to make sure you see some modern, relevant role models for all ages.
So they're making dolls of these young women?
Yes, they have their own dolls.
I definitely would buy a Yara Shahidi.
If you have a Revolt, you can see what the dolls look
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely, that's dope.
So
where
cute.
Did I get that from? Where did I buy it from?
I'm sure any toy store you can look online.
There ain't no toy stores anymore. You got
to
go to
Amazon. I'm sure you can go to Jeff Bezos' Amazon.
I'm sure Amazon
get it there.
Has it, yeah.
Toy store.
Yeah.
Those are gone, yeah.
There's no more toy stores?
No.
You can't go to Target?
Nah. Target might have it. I don't think Target doesn't have a huge selection, though.
American Girl, though, still open.
Yeah, well, but that's,
they don't sell Barbies.
They don't sell Barbies,
there,
Barbies
I'm
there,
sure.
bro.
They don't sell Barbies.
They don't sell Barbies, bro. That's right. American Girl.
All right, I'm Angela Yee.
All they got is slave dolls.
That is your rumor report. What?
They do have a slave doll at American Girl. I forgot her name.
They do not have a slave doll.
Don't tell
they
me
don't
I got
have
three
no
daughters.
Slave doll.
Hold on. What's this little
I got
slave
three,
doll
dude.
It sounds crazy that they would have a slave doll.
Who want to bet? Who want to bet?
And what's the description? Slave doll?
Hold on. I'm going to tell you right now. Who want to bet?
Slave doll anime? Like, come on now. Come on. Let's be real.
Who
want to
bet?
No, there's
nigga.
No slave doll.
Hold on one second.
American.
Addie Walker. That's right. Addie Walker.
How do you know? Why do you think she's a slave?
She is a 9-year-old born into slavery.
I don't even talk to y'all. I don't like talking to y'all because y'all don't ever believe me. That's why I don't be talking. You know what I'm saying? That's why I only talk.
She escaped to freedom with her mother during the Civil War. Experience what life was like for Addie and other young African-American girls during the Civil War as you follow the guide to discover objects and stories throughout. So it's in the museum.
I always want
to
treat me like I'm Rafiki from The Lion King. Like,
I didn't buy my daughter that,
I don't have three daughters.
Did you buy your daughter that, though?
I think I did buy Addie. It's the only blackest one and only black doll they got.
There's one
the
more.
Only black doll they have is a slave doll?
Nah, that's not the only one.
I ain't got more.
Whew.
I just know Addie. That stuck That stuck out in my mind because she was a slave doll.
Goodness gracious.
I was highly offended by that.
Yeah, and you still bought it. But anyway, Charlamagne. I mean,
you buy it and read the description later.
No.
You're like, a black doll. And then you didn't know.
Exactly.
Just bought a black doll.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, what were you giving your donkey to?
Listen, I believe everybody's faith. And, you know, whatever your faith tells you to do, you should stand by that. But we need Cynthia Newman to come to the front of the congregation. She's a dean at Rider University. I want to have a conversation with her.
All right, we'll get to that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. I know you heard about the hot new Samsung Galaxy S10. It's an absolute game changer. Pre-order yours through March 7th and get a pair of Galaxy Buds for free. And if you pre-order on Samsung.com, you get up to $550 for eligible trade-ins. The Samsung Galaxy S10, be the first.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually,
With the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey? Yee-haw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, March 7th,
goes to a former dean at Rider University named Cynthia Newman. Now, Rider University is a private university offering undergraduate and graduate programs. They have a student body of more than 5,000. They're in Jersey. And recently, a survey was sent to students about potential restaurant vendors they wanted to bring on campus. Mm-hmm. Well, Chick-fil-A was one of those choices. And, of course, these students wanted it to be a possible campus addition. If you have ever had a Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit with egg and cheese, then you understand why. Okay, if you have ever had a number one Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich with cheese, then you understand why. When those waffle fries are hot, Lord have mercy. But here's the thing. Chick-fil-A presents a moral dilemma for anyone with a conscience. Okay, their corporate values have always been questioned because Chick-fil-A has always faced criticism from gay rights groups because they have donated millions of dollars to anti-gay causes and organizations. Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy said in 2012 that the company was supportive of the biblical definition of the family unit, which of course is one man, one woman, united together to become one flesh. Now, the sad part about this situation is people act clueless to Chick-fil-A's stances. Why? Because that boneless breast of chicken seasoned to perfection, hand-breaded, pressure-cooked, and 100% peanut oil, and served on a toasted butter bun with a dill pickle is just too damn good. All right, but some people out there are morally stronger than me, and they don't eat Chick-fil-A because of their beliefs. I totally understand. I get it. That's your choice. And Rider University has made that decision, too. In fact, they announced in November that it would no longer consider Chick-fil-A. Administrators wrote in a campus-wide email that the move was an effort to be more inclusive and that the changed corporate values have not sufficiently progressed enough to align with those of Rider. Understandable. They don't think Chick-fil-A is progressive enough when it comes to LGBT issues. I get it. Well, Cynthia Newman, not trying to hear it. Okay, Cynthia Newman said in a statement that the school has made a judgmental statement about Chick-fil-A's values, values that reflect the essence of the Christian as well as other faiths. Well, Cynthia's faith caused her to make a decision. And since Ryder will not have Chick-fil-A, well, now they won't have Cynthia Newman as a dean. Let's go to CNN for the report, please.
A dean at Rider University resigning over the decision not to consider Chick-fil-A for an on-campus eatery. The New Jersey school announced back in November that Chick-fil-A was taken off its list of possible additions because of its opposition to LGBTQ community. Cynthia Newman, Rider's dean of business administration, says it was a judgmental statement about Chick-fil-A's values that reflect the Christian faith. When administrators refused to change their position, Newman resigned. She will remain on the faculty in a different role. The university says in a statement they respect her personal decision, but choosing an on-campus restaurant franchise was in no way a judgment on religious values.
I know Cynthia is saying she stepped down because of her Christian faith, but I really think she stepped down because of the fact that she would not be able to pull up to campus in the morning and walk to get her those chicken minis for breakfast. Okay, bro, those bite-sized Chick-fil-A nuggets nestled in warm, mouth-watering mini yeast rolls, lightly coated with a honey butter spread. See, when you're from South Carolina like me or the South in general, you don't realize how good we got it when it comes to Chick-fil-A until you move up north, okay? Chick-fil-A just got up here like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
About 2 years ago?
Out there.
Okay, and they still not everywhere, especially in New Jersey. See, I don't know where Cynthia is from, but when you're from the South, the only inconvenience we have with Chick-fil-A is the fact it's not open on Sundays. So I'm not too sure Cynthia resigned as dean because of her faith. I think she resigned because she had dreams of walking through campus to grab her a spicy chicken sandwich. Lord have mercy. That boneless breast of chicken seasoned with a spicy blend of peppers. Man, listen. Cynthia loves God, I'm sure. But I think it was her love of Chick-fil-A that caused her to resign. But let me get back to the matter at hand and why I'm giving Cynthia a donkey today. Cynthia, you are the dean of College of Business Administration. You are a beam of light to those kids, I'm sure. Your job as dean is to handle the complaints of those students. You are supposed to be there for them. I know that you think Rider University offended Christians because you asked them to apologize, but Cynthia, you're grown. You know it's three things people will hardly ever agree on, and they will cause disputes and arguments. One is religion. 2 is politics, and 3, who's better, Biggie or Tupac? You can't be an adult who quits every time someone doesn't think like you or believes or doesn't believe what you do, okay? Diversity of thought, diversity of belief is exactly what America should be about. And I would think on a college campus that would be reflected and respected. Listen, Cynthia, those kids at Rider need you more than they need Chick-fil-A, all right? Chick-fil-A coming to Rider University is not going to help shape those kids' futures, but you could. Chick-fil-A coming to Rider is not going to make those kids better people, but you can. Chick-fil-A coming to Rider may put something good in those kids' mouths and stomachs, but you as a dean can instill great things in those kids' minds. I'm not knocking you over your choice, but when it comes to chicken of those kids, you should have gave the chicken up for Lent, not your job. Please give former dean Cynthia Newman of Rider University the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones, please.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Anybody want Chick-fil-A?
No.
You sure? I see a couple of yeses in here. Quite a few yeses.
Nope.
You got 2 interns out there, Leah and Sam. Oh, they Uber Eat. They deliver through Uber Eat.
I ain't messing with you this morning. All right. Thank you for that donkey today. Up next,
sure,
Ask
no
Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got a relationship question, you could ask Ye right now. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is Mark.
Mark, what's your question for Yee, bro?
This is not really a really good question, but I just genuinely wanted to know, how would you guys get through the day without a sense of purpose?
So talk to me. You feel like, what, you're not doing what you want to be doing? You're facing depression?
I mean, not to get into it, but kind of, sort of. I mean, I'm pretty young, so I feel like I shouldn't really feel like this. But you guys, DJ Envy, Charlamagne, and, you know, you guys seem to have found your niche at some point in your life. So I wanted to know, what is it exactly that you did, or how was it that you got over the you know, the before where you found your purpose, and after to get to the point you're at now?
Well, I think it is important for you to make sure that you are actually engaging in activities. Like, do you spend your day just kind of like, what do you go to work, do you go to school?
I haven't gone to school since May. I work a crappy job. I mean, every day I drive there, my face is just bland. I'm not really enjoying. I'm at the end of my rope with this type of stuff. So
the number one thing is, if you don't like your job and you hate it, it's time for you to figure out what else you can be doing and to look for something else. You know, you're not stuck in any situation. So even just going out and seeing what's out there and doing interviews and all of that is going to give you some type of motivation to realize that you're not stuck in the situation that you're in. You know that, right? You can get another job.
Well, it's not really the job thing. Of course, I get another job, but it'd be the same situation to where I'm doing a 9-to-5 that I'm not fulfilled in. That
you don't have to do a 9-to-5. What is it that you want to do?
That's such a vague question, you know what I mean? That's not a question that you could really ask. Like, I've done YouTube videos before, I enjoy that, but you kind of get discouraged when you don't get the feedback that you like. What I put into it, I didn't get back, so I kind of gave up on that.
A lot of times people give up when they don't get results right away, but consistency is so important when you're trying to build something for yourself. Are there classes that you can take, other things that you're interested in outside of your job? Because you can't just get caught up in the 9-to-5 that you have now. What else are you doing outside of that you enjoy, that can bring something to your life, that can help you for your future? Because none of us got to where we got to by just doing what we were doing in our 9-to-5. We all had other hustles. We all worked nonstop to get to a point where we got to, but we also did things that we enjoyed. And so even if you're not making money doing something, at least you're doing something that you enjoy that could eventually make you money. But you have to have some type of goals instead of talking yourself out of things.
Understood. I appreciate the advice. I know the time is limited. I really just genuinely wanted to hear what you would say, you know.
Do you have any responsibilities, any kids, anything like that?
Nah, bro, I got nothing going on.
This is the time when you need to do it. You don't have any kids. You really can live for yourself right now. Find something that you enjoy. Don't worry about the money right away. The money will come if you're really good at it and you enjoy it. When I started DJing, I loved it. It wasn't about making money. I used to stay in the basement all day, all night, just DJing and practicing because I really enjoyed it and I loved it. And then the money came from there.
But, and you enjoy doing your YouTube videos. Just because you didn't get the response you wanted right away, or maybe you're not making money from it right away, doesn't mean to stop. Because nobody goes on YouTube, starts making videos, and makes money right away. Maybe your thing is going to be editing videos and going to school and figuring out how to do that professionally and hooking up with other people. Maybe you need to learn to start doing things not just on your own, but teaming up with other people who are like-minded.
Understood.
All right, but don't give up, man. And yeah, you can do both. You can do YouTube videos and work a 9-to-5 and still get that bread. You just got to put the hours in.
It's 168 hours in a week. I don't know why people don't realize that. You could do 40 hours working a job, 40 hours doing your YouTube videos, and still have 100 and... I'm stupid at math. I didn't go to college.
A lot more hours to do.
You got a lot more hours. You got a lot more hours to do whatever else it is you want to do as well.
If I could say one more thing, I mean, a lot of things play a part in it. People's state of mind during situations kind of have them in positions where they can't achieve things that they want. Life isn't guaranteed to be successful. Some people die and, you know, they're unsuccessful.
Bro, you're depressing me. Yeah. Either you can or you can't.
But
either
you know
way,
what?
You're right.
Listen, no matter what, though, you have to work hard. You can't be upset about not achieving something that you haven't worked hard to even try to achieve. And I think that it's important to also not talk yourself out of it. Like, I feel like everything we say, you have a rebuttal of why it can't happen. Instead of thinking about why it can't happen,
just do it.
Thinking about how it can happen and take those steps.
Just do it. Either you can or you can't. Whatever you think, you're right. Okay?
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, my
How you know he's black?
Oh, my God.
He's still my
I'm just asking. All right, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, hit Yee now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Chantel. Good morning, Breakfast Club.
What's up, Chantel? What's
Hi,
your question
Chantel.
For you?
Yeah, so I just want to say that Charlamagne is definitely right about the Chick-fil-A. I live in South Carolina, and the only thing is really Sunday is the worst day because it's closed. But... I wanted to ask you, so I've been talking to this guy for a couple of months now, and everything is going really well, but when we get to that hard conversation of, like, are we going to make this a relationship, like, almost like putting a title on it, it gets a little, like, mush mouth. Like, he kind of doesn't want to talk about it. Like, he's like, well, we're good where we at. Why do you want to, like, put a title on it and all this, you know, craziness? And I'm just confused that, like, we do everything like we're a couple, but we're not a couple.
Yeah, so he wants to give himself an out just in case he feels like doing something else with somebody else. At least he can say, well, it's not like we're in a relationship.
Right. Yeah, that's what a lot of my friends were saying too. But it's just, it confuses me because it's like when I'm ready to be like, okay, well, we could just be friends and that's it. And then if I start talking to other people, he gives me like the side of like, so you're talking to other people. And I'm like, well, you won't call us anything. So what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, you got to stop giving him. Listen, if you guys are not aligned on clearly you want to be in a relationship, he is telling you he doesn't want to put a title on it. Therefore, he's telling you that he doesn't want to be in a relationship. And why would he? He's getting all the benefits of being in a relationship with you without having to really be in one. So you're the person that has a decision to make. And that decision is, he's told me that he doesn't want to do that. Am I going to continue to have this loose situation where he's allowed to do what he wants, which means therefore you're allowed to do what you want, even though he makes you feel guilty about it when you do it? You know, that's up to you. So he's telling you what it is now. Your move is next. Is your move going to be, okay, I'm going to stop acting like I'm in a relationship with somebody who won't claim me? Or are you going to say, I'm done with this. I'm going to date other people. We still cool. If you decide to come around, let me know. But I'm not going to allow you to just have this friendship with benefits with me.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to text him when I get off the phone.
All right, good. Listen, you have to set the standard for what you want. If what you want is to be in a relationship, you set that standard. If that's not what he wants to do, then don't be confused about it. That's not what you're here for.
Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome.
Mama, thank you. All right, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you could hit Yee anytime. Now, Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's do something cute. Let's talk about Chance the Rapper. He is discussing how him and his girlfriend met, and it's a super cute story.
Chance need to move out of Chicago, if you know what I know.
What's that?
Chicago having a terrible year. Okay, whatever that black cloud is going over Chicago, I hope it don't touch Chance the Rapper. Okay?
All right.
Because Jussie Smollett, R. Kelly got Chicago looking crazy.
All right, when we come back, rumors on the way, is The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Anyway, somebody got a ticket. Last night, but did it, ain't that the worst? You've been waiting on hold.
Wait, what happened?
And then they finally answer the phone.
What's going on?
Can't do a talk break because you got to really pay the ticket.
Oh, Charlamagne just walked out. He was paying the ticket.
Yeah, Charlamagne's paying the ticket.
Why can't he do that online?
I think he doesn't know how to do that stuff online.
He don't know how to use a computer?
He definitely doesn't know how to use a computer.
He doesn't know how to use the World Wide Web.
Definitely know how to use the World Wide Web. He looks stressed.
What is
I don't know what the ticket is for.
Is he going to fight it?
I don't know. Let me ask him right fast.
What is going on? I got to do rumors.
Yo, what's the ticket for? Driving naked?
He told me shut up.
Okay.
He won't tell us what the ticket is. Anyway, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk R. Kelly.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, more with R. Kelly from this morning. He was on with Gil King on CBS this morning. And Asriel and Jocelyn, those are the two women who are living with him. They had this to say about their relationship and being with him.
We're with him. That's our relationship.
We're with him. Yeah, that's what it is.
And we're in a relationship with him.
A very strong relationship as well.
Both of you.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah.
We both have our individual relationships with him. And we all are family all together. We have our moments where we sit and watch movies all together. We go to amusement parks all together.
Do both of you all believe you're in love with him?
Absolutely.
So what is this, big love? Is this just like big love? We're a big, happy family?
Yeah, they're like, listen, there's all these people that have multiple girlfriends is what they're saying. Now, they also talked about their parents.
Should your parents be concerned?
No. My parents knew where I've always been for 4 years. They have known. They know that I've been well taken care of.
They never thought you were missing, Azurel. They just were wondering if you were okay.
Well, my parents have actually came to Chicago and seen me a few times. I've talked to them. They stopped answering my calls.
I talked to your dad last night. He says, my daughter is brainwashed and he's very concerned. He said he was here 2 days ago and you wouldn't even look him in the eye.
Okay, I wouldn't look him in the eye because he's a liar.
Something is strange and something is wrong with this scenario. It's not just what it seems like. There's something wrong. Charlamagne's on his knees?
No, I got the DMV on another line. This is interesting, because I don't see the point of viewing.
Don't come try to jump back in the conversation.
I don't see the point of interviewing these two women, because they haven't accused R. Kelly of doing anything. So all they're doing is kind of helping R. Kelly. And why after the surviving R. Kelly?
Well, clearly this is what
doc,
R. Kelly wants. He's doing this interview because he wants to get sympathy from people.
But that's what
he
I mean.
Wants
why
to
give him the platform?
Act like he hasn't done anything wrong, and then he has these young women who he's coached through to come on and say what they have to say.
I got
to
get back on the phone.
The lady's calling you.
So you're right. So why give him the platform? After the surviving R. Kelly doc and the fact they got him charged now, why give him the platform to try to humanize him in any way?
Are you going to pay your ticket to talk to us?
This is ratings gold. That's why.
So what else we got?
All right, now, I don't know if you guys have... Well, let's tell a cute story now off the hill. Can we turn his mic off at least?
I did, we did already. Okay. Turn his mic off.
Let's talk about Chance the Rapper. He shared a story of meeting his fiance. You know, they met when he was only 9 years old.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was going to marry her one day. Now, he went on Twitter. This guy.
He's paying his ticket.
Like, come on. Why do you have to pay his ticket right now? He couldn't wait till after the show? Anyway... he went on Twitter to share how they met and how he first laid eyes on her. And he posted a picture of the day he said that I first met my wife.
What are you paying? What ticket is this, man?
Get out of here.
Disrupting the show.
He said, in the year 2003, my mom used to work as a real estate agent at a black-owned franchise. He said, one night she took my dad and my brother and I to one of her office parties. So he said he was probably playing a Game Boy in the corner. But then, out of nowhere, we were all told to make room, to spread out and make a circle for a presentation for Destiny's Child to perform. Now, of course, it wasn't really Destiny's Child, but it was a group of three young girls who were singing Independent. And yeah, that's
so
how
was,
they
it
first.
It was kind of Destiny's Child. It was almost Destiny's Child.
Emulating Destiny's Child. He said that they locked eyes. He said he was just staring at her as she and her girls were conquering their choreography and mastering the art of lip syncing in a way even the most professional performers have yet to accomplish. So he said at that time, you know, he knew that was going to be his fiance. So that was super cute. They tried to get him to perform. His dad tried to get him to perform, but he wouldn't.
Chance better be careful because it's a black cloud over Chicago right now.
We're not talking about black clouds.
You see what happened to Jussie Smollett. You see what's
can
happening
to R. Kelly.
Can you get
back on, pay your ticket, and get out of here?
Because it's a good chance with the way things are going in Chicago, Chance may really not be a rapper. Okay.
All right, so he said that she was Kelly Rowland, by the way, in the crew. Mm-hmm. And she was there dancing because her mother was my mom's boss. And he said he didn't see her again until South by Southwest 2012 in Austin, Texas. That's where they met, and eventually back in Chicago, they connected the dots.
Nice.
There you go. Beautiful story.
All right.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that... Well, you know what? I didn't even get to Nia Riley. Do we have time?
No, you got a minute.
All right, well, let's just skip ahead to Nia Riley. She was on Marriage Boot Camp, and a lot of people were concerned because her and Soulja Boy had a physical situation on the show. Mm-hmm. Well, she also went on Van Lathan's Red Pill podcast, and this is what she had to say about her relationship with Soulja Boy.
Yeah, he got upset because I wasn't feeding into his bullshit, and I started to talk to him exactly how he speaks to me, and he got upset about it.
Has there ever been any physical abuse between you two in the past?
Yes.
It's been that bad with black eyes and things of that nature?
Maybe.
Wow.
I thought they was on good terms.
Oh, now you back?
Well, I'm finished talking to him.
All right. Well, you know what?
That's Teddy Riley's daughter, right?
I mean, yes.
Oh, I'm Teddy Riley. Teddy Riley got a beat up Soulja Boy.
And that's your rumor report. And you know what else?
I got a fight.
I tried the new flavors of orange vanilla Coke and orange goodness. Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Oh, yeah, God. You heard that right. And I have to tell you, it's a great combination of Coke, orange, and vanilla flavor. Head to your closest retailer today and try them out.
This is what scares me about this every time you do this. Because you do it so out of the blue and so abruptly, but you always start off with, I tried Coke. And I'm like, yeah, that's how you acting.
I didn't even say I tried Coke. That's not even what it says. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
You worry about your little ticket.
He just paid it.
Actually,
what was that ticket for?
Are you fighting it?
When I got pulled over, you know, the lady pulled me over twice. She pulled me over once. She gave me the ticket. And I told y'all this. Then she pulled me over again to tell me that I'm one of the nicest people that she ever met. That's what she said. She literally pulled me over again to tell me I'm one of the nicest people that she ever met. But when I went to go look in the system for my ticket, the ticket wasn't there. So I had to call.
It takes a while for it to go through.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So I called, and then now I think the white man on the phone trying to set me up because he's telling me to plead not guilty. Because he said, if I plead guilty, I'm going to lose 3 points off my license. He said, you should plead not guilty.
But
I don't want to be in no court.
You can submit it online.
Yeah, you need to plead not guilty. The reason you plead not guilty is because you don't want those 3 points to raise your car insurance. But
and
if
they'll
you
take
plead
a plea
guilty,
for you, and then you'll end up just getting a fine and not have to pay the points.
Because ain't nothing worse than getting locked up for a suspended license. That's the stupidest thing.
All they really want is your money.
So annoying.
Yeah, they just want your money. It's plead not guilty. The white guy was right.
Or snitch on someone, and you might not have to get nothing. No time.
Who can I tell on? A yielding ticket.
Envy did something crazy.
No, I
tell
didn't do nothing
him.
Crazy. Oh, you want to tell me? Ask Angela when's the last time she did jury duty.
Ask Envy about that gun he had.
No, Angela. See, that's when you were supposed to do another Colt commercial, right?
All right.
That people, unregistered weapon he has right now.
All my weapons are registered. Legally registered.
Wow.
I saw you scratch off that code.
Wow,
she's going hard. She's going to put me under the jail. You going to say there's hollow points in it, too? All right. Well, Revolt, we'll see you later. Everybody else, the People's Choice mix is up next in All My Weapons Illegal. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we got a shout to Donna Hilton for joining us this morning.
Yeah, hey, she's amazing.
Go grab her book, A Little Piece of Light, if you never have read it. It's an amazing book, an amazing story. I just like stories of people who persevered through the BS, you know what I mean?
Man, I was crying when I was reading that book. Oh, and I want to shout out to Ebony K. Williams. I was with her yesterday with her book, Pretty Powerful. It's been out for like a year and a half now. But we did this nice networking event, and we sat down and talked about a lot of things that happened for her to get to where she's gotten to in life. You know, she's a broadcaster, she's an attorney, she's an author. She's very motivational, so shout out to Ebony K. Williams.
Love Ebony. That's my partner right there.
Mm-hmm. And then also shout out to Angela Bergen from AT&T. She started that whole Dreamin' Black campaign that I actually was one of their 28 future dream makers. So I appreciate that honor. And she actually got honored yesterday because of the short film that they did for Dream in Black. So shout out to her and shout out to AT&T.
Okay, I'm heading out to Austin, Texas tonight.
South by Southwest.
It's Tech Week, so they're doing something. All the HBCUs are coming together. They're actually battle. It's called the Battle of the Brains, where they're putting tech against each other. So I'm will be out there. Marshawn Lynch will be out there. So it should be a lot of fun today.
Remember when brains used to be slang for fellatio?
I think that's what he meant.
Oh, that's what he meant?
Yeah.
Envy, you're going to win that, my brother.
I can tell he's going to win.
Ain't no doubt in my mind you're going to win that. I got faith in your mouth.
So shout out to all the historically
Sounds
black.
Like you know from experience.
Shout out to all the historically black college and universities.
That's the best you ever had.
It's about our African Americans and our black people today and how smart they are. So if you want to joke and make light of how smart our African American people are, you can.
I'm just simply saying that slang used to be brains. You know who made that slang up? A brother from Queens. Okay? His name was Nasir Jones.
HBCU Battle of the Brains.
Okay. That's right, baby. Oh, all God. These black people will be together battling to see who get the best
and I'll be at the tailgate party. So.
Hey!
Okay.
Of course you would be.
We got our own superhead.
I would expect to find you at the gate of a tail.
You know what?
At the what?
When we come back, we got the positive note, man. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. You got a positive note?
Yes, man. I just want to tell everybody out there that there is grace in every setback. There is meaning in all suffering. There is the hand of the divine in every low moment. Your wounds lead you to your purpose.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And,
hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.